I don't like you. I think you're a fake cop. If we were in the wild, I would attack you. If I were a lion and you were a tuna, I would swim out in the middle of the ocean and eat you!
Okay, first off, a lion swimming in the ocean? Lions don't like water. If you'd placed it near a river or some sort of fresh water source, that makes sense. But you find yourself in the ocean, 20-foot waves, I'm assuming it's off the coast of South Africa, coming up against a full-grown 800-pound tuna with his 20 or 30 friends, you lose that battle. You lose that battle 9 times out of 10. Did that go the way you thought it was going to go? Nope.
Are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Doug Stanhope, and if you're listening to this podcast, don't take my word for it. I got tricked into this in a merch booth.
It's the homemade broadcast.
The what podcast?
The homemade broadcast.
Homemade?
Homemade broadcast.
The homemade podcast.
Yes, sir.
This is very homemade right here. This shit right here, that homemade.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the homemade broadcast. I'm your host, Will Kuntz. As always, Radio St. Pete, RadioSt.Pete.com, HMBRadio.com, Instagram, Twitter, home_made_man. Follow me on there so you can keep up with all these things. Facebook.com/the homemade broadcast. I guess that's it. I don't know. Facebook.com/RadioSt.Pete. Yeah, them too. You should go like that page, so I can harass you with all these things that we do here. Welcome to the program. We got an open mic coming up this Tuesday. No, that's not true. Next Tuesday, November 10th at Sly Bar. Last one was a lot of fun. I saw a guy get leveled, knocked out cold, which was very interesting to see. It was kind of scary. I haven't seen anyone get punched in a long time. You didn't see that? Hang on 1 second. I'll pull you in. That's our guest here. A guy got knocked out. I guess I could just bring you in now, Danny. Yes. Danny Figueroa is here. He's a comedian, semi-new to the game, but he's here. Yeah, a guy got knocked out.
What?
Was he one of the improv guys?
He was, I don't know, I thought he was a homeless guy, but he had a cell phone. So I was like, I guess homeless people can have cell phones now in this age, though. That's probably a pretty common thing, really. But I don't really know how exactly it happened. I saw this fella when he walked in. There was just a guy there by himself. I guess it was just watching, or maybe he's thinking about doing it and wussed out. And I was outside. I guess we were about to give away the prize money. And I just heard, like, I thought they were like friends or something. They were talking. And then all of a sudden, I just hear him like, man, get out of here. Get away from me. And the guy's like, oh, yeah? You know, and then he starts dancing. And then the guy just hauls back and just punches him so hard. And
so he knocked out the homeless guy?
I don't know if he was homeless. He knocked out a guy. I'll just put it that way. And he was just leaking.
The guy that wanted to dance.
The guy that wanted to dance, he decided that this was not happening.
Now,
for
when
him.
He said he wanted to dance, did he literally want to dance?
He started
or was
dancing.
That like.
He started dancing.
He just wanted. So then this guy that punched him was kind of a dick then.
I don't know the whole story.
Maybe
there,
this dude was just looking for a human connection, yeah.
I think he was a little intoxicated, the guy, and he was probably bugging him, but I still think it
he
was
just
an
wanted
overreaction.
To dance. Was this like John Lithgow in Footloose or something?
I don't know what the
dancing,
deal
not in my town.
It was horrifying. I felt really bad for the guy. Like I said, I don't know the whole story, but at this day and age, you know, we're all adults here. You don't need to haul off and punch somebody. It's easy to walk away and go about your business or walk inside, you know, if it's a homeless guy, Sly Bar will kick him out real quick. So,
and what problems are there in the world that can't be solved with dance? Really?
That's true.
Have you ever seen Captain EO at Disney? Michael Jackson saved the universe with dance.
No, never seen that.
I might have to check it out
at some point.
It's a 3D movie where Michael Jackson is a space captain.
I'm not going to like it. I can already tell.
Saves the universe with the powers of dance.
Well, this guy, it was the best dance move ever because he clocked back as far as he could, punched this guy right square in the mouth. His feet left him. I heard felt the thud on the concrete in the bottom of my feet. And then the guy, I don't think anyone knew what to do because everyone was, I was like, holy crap, you know, just like looking at this. Yeah. And I was like, should we do something? We picked the guy up and he was like, what happened? I don't know what happened. And then the other guy's there. We don't know what to do with this other guy. And I think I was like, you should probably just go. I don't know what to tell you. You should go.
So the guy was like, all right.
The guy cut his knuckles on the guy's teeth and he left. Rough.
So, I have been both of those guys before.
Yeah, yeah.
Not at the same time.
But. I've only been in a couple fights in my life, but I got beat up most of the time I was in fights. But, yeah, I felt bad for the guy. I don't know what happened to him. I was like, let's call an ambulance for the guy because he was bleeding pretty good. I don't know if he knocked his teeth out or broke his nose or what happened, but the guy refused any sort of attention, and it seemed to blow over gracefully. So the open mic has street cred as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's pretty – I can't believe I missed that.
It was intense.
I stayed for most of it, too. So.
I wish I missed it. I don't like the violence. It bugged me. But the next one is November 10th, so you can come out and watch perhaps someone get punched. That's
there'll
at
be
Sly
a rematch.
Bar, 2061 Central Avenue, and they are a sponsor of this program, of course. Check out why I Love the Berg has named Sly Bar one of the top 15 businesses to watch in 2015. Great beers, great folks. We got the lip sync battle happening on the 19th that I'm hosting. That was a lot of fun, the last one. So get out there for that. And Angelo's provides the pizza, free pizza at the open mic. So you can get fed, you can drink some beers, watch some free comedy. And that is courtesy of Angelo's, saintpizza.com. And they are located at 536 First Avenue North, I believe. Double check saintpizza.com, best URL. In the history of URLs. And by the way, I keep forgetting, I have a voicemail line if you wanted to leave a message for the homemade broadcast. You can call 813-693-2124. Leave a message, don't curse, and I'll play it if you want to do that. So make sure you do that. I'll take constructive criticisms. You can even call me names, but just make sure that I can air them so they're not naughty words. I'd appreciate it.
Do you have any of those this week? Did anybody call you names?
No, nobody really ever calls. I think I've gotten one. That was it. Although I did have some numbers that I didn't recognize that now I pick up because I don't know if it could be something like a business thing or something, so I always answer them. But maybe I scare people because I actually answer the call, and they're like, oh, I just wanted to leave a voicemail. Damn it.
Yeah, I can't insult you if it's to your person.
Yeah,
I can only do this anonymously and to a machine.
I understand, you know, so maybe I should. I had a burner phone that I had connected to the account, but then my friend Ryan, I let him borrow it because he was visiting from South Korea.
Is he a homeless person?
He borderline, yeah.
So see, homeless people can have cell phones.
That's true. And Ryan never gave it back. Went home, and I think it's at his mom's house, but... I'm not worried about it.
Maybe he lost it at a bar one night when somebody punched him square in the mouth.
Maybe it was Ryan Droff that got knocked out. No, I would definitely know if it was Ryan Droff. But, so what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, call the voicemail line and pick up a creative loafing this week. I got interviewed by Scott Harrell about podcasting. They got a whole comedy. The whole dang issue is devoted to comedy. About darn time, if you ask me. So I got to speak with Scott about podcasting and the comedy scene here. So go pick that up.
Yeah, it's free.
It's free. There's no reason not to. And it's a good rag. You used to work for them, didn't you?
I interned there, yeah, and did a little freelance for them.
Yeah,
back in the day.
It's a good rag, man. It's similar, I guess. What the competition would be the TBT, right?
Kind of. TBT is a lot of aggregated stuff. Creative Loafing actually has their own
original
writers
content,
and yeah, own original content that they produce.
Sub App, too, is around, Suburban Apologist.
I haven't checked that out yet.
I think I saw one. They don't have the distributing that Creative Loafing has. So I actually reached out to them because I wanted to cover, I was going to cover comedy events for them.
Oh, that's cool.
But I never heard back.
Yeah, there's
from
definitely
them,
so. Not enough coverage. I mean, that's something I noticed when I was there, and just in general with media around here, that there's not a lot of coverage of the local comedy scene.
Law Smith wrote before I did a, I put together a big showcase in April, and it was in Creative Loafing's building.
And the CL space.
The CL space, which is a lovely room.
Yeah, it's a rad place.
And so Law wrote this thing about, called Creative Loafing Out, about their lack of coverage in the comedy scene here. And he actually did his research, too, because he went back like 10 years and like listed every topic that that certain issue was about, and there was zero for comedy, nothing.
Yeah, I wrote about comedy a little bit when I was over there, but it was never never really on the local stuff. You know, I wrote about people, some of the acts coming through. Like, one of my favorite stories that I put together was a guy named Josh Wolf, who
sounds very familiar.
He's a stand-up, and he used to work on Chelsea Lately,
mm-hmm.
and he's been on a couple sitcoms and whatnot. And I didn't really like him that much at first. And he wrote a book called It Takes Balls, which is about being a single dad.
Mm-hmm.
And all the promo for the book was about how, like, he picks up single moms in, like, the grocery store and on the playground. And I kind of thought it was scummy when I first read it. But, you know, I wanted to do my research and have a good interview and write a solid story whether or not I liked the guy. So I read the book, and when I got into the book, I realized it was only that first chapter. And then in the interview, we actually talked about how he didn't even want that chapter in the book. Mm. But they, you know, the publisher wanted something a little salacious to bring people in.
Sure.
So they threw that in there, and they got it out. You know, they got it out of the way immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Was the kind of the compromise that he made, and it wound up being one of my favorite pieces. And I gained a lot of respect for the dude. And then I went and saw his show, and it was a good show. And afterwards, he gave me a great compliment about the story I wrote, and it wound up turning into a pretty cool experience. And then from there, they kind of threw some more comedy stuff my way, but never I never got to run with it the way I would have liked to. And I wasn't as involved in the local comedy scene. Like, I knew it was there,
mm-hmm.
and I had seen it a bit, but I wasn't nearly as involved as I am now. So I really didn't even have the tools then to be able to do it justice. But I'm glad to know that it's getting some attention now.
Yeah, and I kind of cut them some slack, too, because maybe they didn't really know that mm-hmm. it was around. And it's definitely blown up much more in the past year, I would say, than ever. And I don't really know what to attribute that to, but it's definitely...
I mean, I think we're kind of in the midst of somewhat of a comedy boom that, like, similar to what happened between, like, the late 70s and early 90s. If you think
I don't know about that, but...
Well, I mean, maybe not to that extent, but look at, like, you know, all the specials coming out on Netflix. You know, comedy is just, I think, so much more accessible nowadays than it was, because you used to be able, you know, you used to have to go out and seek it. Mm-hmm. Now you don't have to seek it. It's right in your face. Like, you log on to Netflix and there's like 7 different hour specials you could watch. You
know? I think that's also a negative, mm-hmm. because you don't have to go out and seek it. Mm-hmm. You can just watch it on Netflix.
And there definitely is a lot of oversaturation too,
mm-hmm.
and a lot more opportunities for people to slip through the cracks. Like, you look at all the stuff that happened recently with the Fat Jew,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, him stealing jokes and taking other people's content and not getting credit for them, and then not giving the people credit, and then, you know, making a career basically on that. And even in his failure, even in being exposed, now he can be a redemption story, mm-hmm, you know?
Sure.
And so he's still got his career out of it.
When they said with him that he was going to have a TV show, mm-hmm. I was like, what could he possibly... I mean, I guess with a TV show, you have writers, so it's not really on him. So he still wouldn't have to do anything.
I know,
like,
I guess
that answers my question.
If you're funny and you have exposure, they'll give anybody a show to do something. And it's all the same kind of format. If you look at all these Comedy Central shows, I think some of them are really great, mm-hmm. and they've had some really great shows, but they all have a very similar format. You know, a guy who does stand-up standing in front of a screen showing clips from the internet or, like, making fun of things.
Yeah.
You know, that's the Jeselnik Offensive, Tosh.0, what was the other one? There was another one. I can't remember.
The skateboarder guy?
No, Rob Dyrdek, the one on MTV.
Yeah.
That's kind of, he did something that was kind of similar, but Jeff Ross had one on Comedy Central that was really good, actually. It was like almost like a roast show.
Mm-hmm.
But they were all very, very similar concepts. that kind of somewhat jive with what the comedian is known for. So Anthony Jeselnik is known for, you know, darker humor. And so we had the Jeselnik Offensive, which was, you know, a little darker of a show.
And that got canceled pretty quick, too.
Yeah. So did Jeff Ross's show. Mm-hmm. Jeff Ross has been, you know, working with Comedy Central for like 20 years or something now, too, which is crazy.
Yeah. It's a hard game, but I don't know what the Fat Jews show would have been about. Probably like a sketch show, I'm sure, similar to like Chappelle or something like that. Mm. And if you got a team of writers, good writers, then it would have been successful. So yeah. I'm glad that he's not getting that recognition now, and hopefully he seeps away quietly back into the internet where he came from.
Yeah, that's one thing I can't stand is people who try to take credit for other people's hard work.
I told you, there's that guy that I put on blast on Bailey's podcast. He does that verbatim. He will steal stuff on Twitter, not put it in quotes, and just use it as his own. And people go, oh, my God, that's so funny. You're hilarious. And they think it's him.
Yeah, I've seen that a bunch of times with people. I mean, that's one of the problems with the internet, though, and content being so accessible and free to everybody is nobody cares about attribution anymore. Nobody cares about giving people credit.
Yeah, I guess you don't have to do it. Like, I took the time because I know this guy's a phony. So I was like, I wonder if he's – because I was like, that's pretty funny. I wonder if he's – and then sure enough, every single time where it's been like, that's mildly entertaining, it's been something that he stole.
So we need people like you to fight these battles.
To just hate people. Yeah, I was – about that guy, I was sending my friends, like, text messages and stuff about him, and they were like, you're obsessed. And I am. And they're like, you're wasting too much time on him. I'm like, I don't think so, because I get a lot of enjoyment out of disliking him.
Yeah, and it's one thing, I think, too, to talk about, like, different if two people talk about something similar, like Amy Schumer has just come under fire because her new special people have compared to there's one bit that she does at the end. People have compared
Patrice?
To Patrice O'Neill.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
And that's different, I think. They are similar, yes, but they're talking about, like, weird sexual positions and sex acts and the crazy names for them and all this stuff. And I mean, that's not even original to them. They're just presenting it in their own way. And yes, another comic had a similar bit, but hers isn't verbatim, and it's not the same thing, and it's her take on something. And you know, it's hard to be 100% original. You can't come up with, you know, everybody's not going to come up with a 100% original premise, because we all experience similar things.
Well, not only that, because it's one of my biggest fears too. Like if I've ever been writing stuff, did I hear this somewhere? This seems like it's too easy sometimes. Like this just thing you thought of. And I mean, Louis C.K. had it with Dane Cook.
Yeah.
They had their little feud about the itchy beehole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very similar to Louis' bit back in the day. But I actually came up with a premise about the bank and not having any money, and I found a YouTube clip of Louis
doing it where he's
almost verbatim. So I don't know if I heard it and just recalled it, or if we just – because sometimes thoughts just happen.
Yeah,
these weird things happen. You're like, it just naturally comes out. So
it's the one where you're talking about being broke, and you have to pay the bank to be broke.
That's exactly the one.
Yeah,
and
I had the same exact experience with that joke, because I was thinking about being broke, because I was just recently unemployed for a while.
Yep.
And I was thinking about being broke, and my bank account got, you know, overdrafted, and I thought about this is, you know, I can't believe I have to pay money to be broke.
Yep.
And then I thought, this is a great premise for a bit.
Yep.
And then, yeah, watching, I'm like, oh, yeah, it is a great premise for a bit.
It's already been done. It was a great bit. Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like experiences, we do experience a lot of the same things in this life. Mm-hmm. Being poor, a lot of people are poor, and they'd have to deal with banks.
But there's a difference between writing your take on a shared experience. I mean, that's what makes comedy so good, is because it is about a shared experience and people can identify with it. And lots of times comedians go on stage and they say things that people think but don't say out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what makes it funny. And so, yeah, you're going to get some, you know, some crossover and some overlapping with material. But it's totally different when you're just verbatim stealing someone's material and not giving any credit, which is what this guy you were talking about apparently has been doing, and what someone like the Fat Jew is doing, which is just stealing someone else's material that they worked on. Because if I work on a joke and you work on a joke or a bit and it's about a similar topic, you know, that's one thing. But if I hear you or you hear me and then we just do that, that's you know, that's BS.
Yeah, it's definitely a problem, and I feel like now it's easier to call out because of the internet. It's much easier to find. And you know, Fat Jew got caught, and Amy's having. But see, now you run into that thing where it's almost too easy to get now. So you can get those things where you run in, like Dane's thing about the itchy beehole thing was like, I had an itchy ass, you know, and you know, it just it naturally happened, and you know, you're the only one that had an itchy butt before, you know.
Yeah, I think the you know a lot of the problem there was them coming out of the same scene too. They're both Boston comics,
right?
Yeah, so they're both coming out of the same scene, so. Louis's attitude on it and his perspective is you just saw me do that
and
took it you know and it's similar to like I don't know if you know about any of the stuff that happened with Carlos Mencia
which is coming here in the next few weeks.
It's crazy, and F that dude, because he absolutely stole a bunch of material and made a career on it and has been called out. Joe Rogan constantly calls him out. And
I don't think he does anymore. I think a couple years ago it was like
that video super was intense.
That video, that YouTube video at the comedy store was a viral type of thing that went down.
Oh.
And I've heard interviews with Carlos, and I kind of feel bad for him sometimes. But I've also heard, and here's the thing with audio, though, is that you can manipulate it. And I've heard him, there was this one thing where he was like, yeah, I steal stuff, and there ain't nothing you could do about it. But that could also be doctored, and it could be like, it's not like I'm back there saying, I'm going to steal your stuff. They could just take that part and snip it. So I don't know.
He also became kind of an arrogant D-bag at a point, you know.
That's true. That is true.
Where he, and you could tell in his material how it changed to him. You know, it went from him being, you know, a poor, struggling person with his outlook on life to having all this wealth and throwing it back at people's faces.
Yeah. It's hard to fault somebody for that, too. If you've been struggling for a long time and then all of a sudden you don't. I don't know if I would be much better. I hope that I would be as a person.
We all do, but like.
It's hard, yeah.
When you grow up real poor, you know, it's hard to be humble at a certain point.
Yeah.
It's not impossible, but it is a little more of a challenge. And you kind of, understand it. So I see where he's coming from. But also, when you're hurting the people who are in that same community that you came from, then it's different because you're not going after a society that wronged you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're being a D-bag about the people who you should be caring about and helping lift up to where you are.
Right.
You know, this might be a kind of weird example, and I don't like either of these bands, but Papa Roach and Alien Ant Farm, way back when they were relevant, before that, they were friends growing up, and when they were coming up, they made a promise with each other that if one was successful, they would do all they could to bring the other one along. So Papa Roach got like a hit song, and used their you know whatever little clout they had to bring Alien Ant Farm up.
Really, I had no idea.
Yeah,
these seem so different.
Yeah,
their styles.
But they came from they just came from the same place, and yeah, completely different styles of music. But they were friends, and they helped each other out along the way always. And I wish it was more like that in things like comedy, because people are really competitive, and I've had conversations about how competitive it can be.
Yeah.
But I've never really felt like that, honestly. I feel like everybody has a unique enough voice, especially if you're working hard enough, you kind of find your own voice,
right.
And everybody has a unique enough voice that you're going to get something different from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's room enough for all of us. And look at how prolific Netflix is with stand-up specials. Everybody's got, there's room in the world. There's room out in the ether for all of us to have our material and have some level of success. We don't have to knock each other down. We can bring each other along.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish it was more like that. And you know, so seeing somebody like Carlos Mencia, or who blatantly steals jokes and hurts the people he should be helping, that that bothers me. And I have a hard time getting on board with that, because I grew up in the projects in New York, into punk rock, liking authors like Hunter S. Thompson, all that subversive nature, And so I can totally get down on being anti-establishment and, you know, getting some success and some clout and using it to say, like, F you to the man or whatever. But, you know, when you're just attacking the community you came from, then that's, yeah, that's kind of a crappy thing to do. And he laid low for years.
Yeah.
He's been laying low.
He's back now. And if you're just joining us, this is the Homemade Broadcast. I got, I'm Will Koontz, your host, and I have Danny Figueroa here. Do you go by Daniel or Danny?
It really doesn't matter. You usually, like, on the internet and things, I have Daniel, but everybody just calls me Danny, so I'm not really picky about it. I think that's a stupid thing to be particular about.
Yeah, I get it. I get it too, because I'm William, and a lot of my friends call me Will, and then my parents called me Bill. So then I get the, like, what do you? I really don't care, but I feel like I have to answer. So
anybody
just
call you Billy?
Yeah, sometimes. Not too much anymore. Like, my mom calls me Will now, which is weird, because she's like, oh, your friends call you that. I'm gonna call you. I'm like, okay, that's fine, you know, whatever. But it's still weird, because she used to call me Billy, you know, back in the day. That's what I was used to. But now, you know, I guess she was trying to be respectful or something of my choices. But I didn't really choose it. But, hey, whatever. And actually, I'm sure you remember. Mm-hmm. But I knew you. I met you probably 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought you were a dick.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for reasons other than I met you once and we were at a bar and I think we were all just drunk and you kind of gave me the cold shoulder. And I was with a girl and you were dating this her friend. Mm-hmm. And then I heard stories from them. And I learned you don't listen to what girls say about boyfriends. So it's not a good idea to do that.
Yeah.
To gauge that on.
That might have affected my opinion of you as well.
Yeah, probably. I'm sure it did.
But I'm also I'm very closed off to new people a lot. So
yeah, I understand.
I hate, and I'm trying to be better about it as I get older. Because, like, there's no reason why, like, yeah, 2.5 years ago we could have met and been friends and
right.
Things would have been rad. Mm-hmm. But I know I'm the kind of person, I'm very closed off and I can be very introverted at times.
Yeah.
And particularly I know at that point in my life I was drinking a lot and not making the best decisions.
That'll happen.
So I'm sure that all, you know, it all played a part in it. But yeah, it was I think that I have gotten that criticism before, and I think it's more than me being, like, you know, an asshole or anything like that. It's me just being kind of quiet and reserved around new people and taking a while to warm up to people.
Yeah, and I think that comes with age too. As you get older, in your 20s, you kind of care what people think about you, or you try to give off this vibe. And then when you get to be, you know, in your later 20s, you don't really care anymore. And you're actually a real person at that point that can have real conversations with strangers. And it gets easier as it goes along. But I was surprised because, I mean, I didn't see you since then. Mm-hmm. I think Rand had that one interaction and then you came and did the open mic.
Yeah.
And I had no idea that you were interested in that. Mm-hmm. And so how long, like, when did you decide that you wanted to start doing comedy?
Well, I've always been an avid fan of comedy, to a point where I would even consider myself like a student of comedy, because it went beyond just, like, you know, consuming it and seeing comedy every once in a while. I was one of those people who I actively sought out comedy, and not just, you know, comedy for the entertainment value, but I wanted to understand the comedians, why, you know, what made them tick, why they did it, what was going on with them, you know, underneath it all, what was beyond just the material. And that was something that I don't know why, it was just a way I was brought up with a lot of comedy. Some of my best memories as a kid are watching stand-up specials, HBO specials, probably when I wasn't even old enough yet, but, you know, I had a pretty cool mom, so we would watch, like, George Carlin together, and I didn't get all the stuff, but there was something that connected with me there. And that's why for most of my life, I considered stand-up comedy like the highest form of art as far as I was concerned, you know, and I put it on a pedestal. And so for years, I never thought I was good enough to be a comedian, because, like, I admired and worshipped some of these, you know, guys and gals in stand-up comedy. And I thought, you know, there's no, who am I? I can never do that, you know. And finally, you know, within the last year, actually, within the last couple years, I started to listen to podcasts more. and you know, many which featured comedians, and I got an even deeper and more intense look into their lives and their careers, and it just, you know, fueled this passion that had been burning in me for like 17 years that, you know, that I wanted to perform and do stand-up comedy. And I'd been a writer and, you know, in various mediums, and I had performed, you know, I played in bands most of my life, and I did spoken word when I was younger. So there were, you know, some of those tools there that I might need, but I never bothered to put any of them together until, you know, the last year mm-hmm. of my life when I finally decided, you know what, I'm going to take the jump and I'm going to do it. And, you know, what have I got to lose? And I haven't looked back since. And I just, you know, try to work as hard as I can. And I lose tons of sleep over it, and I go broke over it sometimes. But, you know, I can't stop now.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned the podcast, because a lot of people that have started doing comedy within the past few years bring that up. Because when you see these legends or these, you know, monsters of comedy doing it, that you feel like, holy moly, like, who am I? Like you said, like, I could never do that. But when you listen to their podcast, it humanizes them, and you realize that there are just normal people who walk around every day. And I feel like it's encouraged a lot of people to try it out.
And like you were saying before, there's been a comedy boom, and that could, you know, that's very well maybe a part of it. I absolutely think that it's a part of why comedy has had a resurgence in the past few years, because of the accessibility, and also because of, you know, not just the accessibility of material, but the accessibility of the personalities behind it. And yeah, people can identify with them on an even more personal level than before and say, yeah, you know, they're people and I'm a person, and why can't I do this?
Right.
And I think, you know, there's people don't realize how difficult it can be and how much work has to be put into it.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't seem like it, you know. It seems like you get on a stage and you be funny and people laugh, and eventually you do it long enough and someone pays you.
Right.
But, you know, there's a lot of work. Like they say, you know, the hardest – and one of the things I heard – in, you know, listening to podcasts and whatnot was, you know, the hardest part is getting up on stage. The hardest part, you know, you just got to get on stage. And no, that's not the hardest part. There's so much more to it than that, you know, that you got to get up on stage. Yeah, that's a big part of it. But also you have to write funny material. Mm-hmm. And not everything is inherently funny, but you have to present it in a way that highlights some humor in it.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I bring it up all the time, but since I talk to a lot of comedians, there's a lot of guys here and girls that don't do open mics but get gigs. It blows my mind how, because Louis C.K. will go do an open mic. Bill Burr goes and they do open mics all the time.
I have no idea how to be successful in comedy.
Yeah,
I'm starting to figure like out something, but and I don't know that I ever will be, but I know that this is something that I have to do, and I love doing open mics. I really do. There's, you know, it's not that much pressure. And I've seen people, you know, certain people go up at open mics and then go up and like real paid shows, and they have a completely different personality and a completely different style. But to me, you know, the 5 to 7 minutes you get on an open mic, like I put it all out there. Like if it doesn't land, it doesn't land, you know, but I try to stick with it, and I try to give the performance that I would be giving regardless of the type of show or where the show is. Like, I'm going to give 100% every time and leave it all on the stage every time. And that's not for everybody, and it blows my mind, though, how you could not. But that's just me. And, yeah, I don't know where all these guys are getting these gigs from, too.
I don't know either, man. It's amazing. But they a lot of them do it themselves. And, I mean, there's a lot of talent here that I think gets underlooked. I don't know what the rest of the country is like, obviously, but I feel like there are really a lot of talented people. And the comedy scene's kind of been based in Orlando and Miami. And I think that's eventually going to shift. I can feel the shift happening now over here. If we can get a club opened up in St. Pete, that would be very helpful. Which,
yeah, that would be rad. And if you had like regular like acts coming, like, you know, touring acts coming through,
yeah,
I think that would definitely be big, because there's a mentality difference in the audience when you're going to an open mic versus going to you know, a comedy show where you're paying to see comedy.
Right.
There's a level of expectation and I think a guard that drops when you're going to like a comedy show at a comedy club.
Yeah,
versus definitely. When you happen upon an open mic at, you know, a random bar in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Danny Figueroa is joining me on the Homemade Broadcast this week. So how long have you been at the comedy game?
Like, I think I just hit like 6 months or something like that. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
And yeah, not a long
lot of
at
people,
all.
A lot of people that have been coming on, same mm-hmm. thing. I've mm-hmm. been doing about 6 months now. And guys are getting far already in 6 months. I mean, I've seen some really great ones.
Yeah, I had my first paid gig last week.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that was rad. That was, you know, one of the coolest things that ever happened to me, honestly. Someone paid me to do comedy. Like, that was, it felt better than the first check I got for music, you know, because I used to do, like, session work. So I play on music that gets licensed out, and I get, like, residual checks and stuff from that. I'm professionally a writer and editor, and so I've gotten paid for that, and I remember how cool it was the first time I got paid to write a story, you know, and none of that, though, compared to getting handed a little bit of cash. You know, it wasn't much, but just something that, you know, somebody paid me to do comedy.
It's more of a symbol, I think.
Yeah.
When you get that $20, it's more of a symbol, it gives you some reassurance that you're going at it the right way.
It's one of the coolest things that's ever happened to me, and it was a cool show, too. And I was hosting at the Winter Circle in Lakeland, which is one of the few places in Polk County where you can see live comedy. And Bill, who runs that room, has been doing it for years and years and really cares about comedy and has recently started to get more local comics to come up and host his shows. And he's really trying to help out local talent, which is amazing. And I felt very honored to be a part of that group, you know, part of the, you know, one of the people he selected to host his show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this guy who's been, you know, in the comedy game for years and years paid me to host a show. And that felt really cool. And not to like, you know, I don't like to brag or anything, because I know I still have a long way to go before I'm anybody or anything in this, you know, in this comedy thing, you know, but it felt really cool.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, it's just reassurance that you're going around, you're doing it. I'm getting,
yeah.
And I'm actually making money. I could buy myself dinner from, you know, 5 minutes that I talked. You know, that's special.
Yeah, and it felt good to like talk to the older, you know, the older guys who've been around a little longer and
definitely.
Get some of that sage wisdom from them.
Yeah.
And also to hear them, you know, tell me good job or give me a pat on the back. You know, that little reassurance is nice. And to hear, you know, and obviously nothing beats getting a good laugh where you want it, you know, when your material lands, that's, you know, the greatest feeling in the world. Because that doesn't always happen, you know.
And more often than not, and that's the thing, you were right, that it's hard.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, getting up there, but you have to have something to say, too. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's not good. Most of the time it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
So going and doing the open mics, and that's why it's really important that I'm glad people are coming out and watching and coming to the open mics, because you got to have somebody to watch. Comedians don't laugh.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to see that a community is building now. Some of these older guys are not taking some of the younger ones under their wing necessarily. Some are. But they're organizing stuff. They're better at that. Organizing shows is really important,
yeah.
Independent shows, and they're actually taking the time and doing that. And they're nice to the young guys. I don't think it was like that. Because I started when I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing it about a year, and then I went to school and kind of pushed it on the back burner. But it definitely was not like that back then.
Yeah, part of me wishes that I would have started when I was younger. And I've been, like I said, I have been thinking about doing this for like 17 years. Like literally, I'm 29 years old. The first time I thought about getting on a stage, I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right around the time I saw Eddie Izzard for the first time. And he's still one of my favorites. And I went to a junior high school where we had a kid who was doing comedy. And again, I just let myself get into my own head and tell me I couldn't do it. I wasn't funny as him.
Right.
You know, he was more like the class clown kind of guy, which I never was.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so he, you know, he was the one that comedy was his thing. It wasn't my thing. And so I never did it. And then maybe 10 or so years later, you know, still, you know, always kind of flirting with the idea. I started to formulate bits when I was in my 20s, but I never actually wrote anything down or, you know, got up on a stage. I always procrastinated. And then finally, you know, it just happened one day. I was listening to, you know, some comedy on the way to work, and I had, you know, like I always did, I had some sort of a bit formulating in my head, and I, you know, and I thought, okay, I should write this down sometime, but, you know, not now. I have other things I have to do. And then I said, no, that's, you know, don't think that way. Write now. Write what you're thinking right now. I was on my way into work, and I sat at my desk, and the first hour and a half I was at work, I wrote my first 5 minutes. And, you know, and I haven't looked back since then.
We're running out of time. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about this show that you're doing at the on November 12th at Local 662.
You know, like we were saying, you know, a lot of these guys, they make their own things happen. And so I'm trying to make my own thing happen as well. So I'm putting on a comedy show in St. Pete at Local 662 on November 12th. But I wanted to do a little more than just put together a comedy show. I've, you know, I used to write for a newspaper, and I covered Veterans Affairs. And it's always been something that I've been very passionate about. And there's a major problem in this country with homeless veterans. So I'm putting on the show where I can give back to not only the comedy scene that has been good to me and the community and the people that I've become friends with and who have, I've watched grow as comics, but I can also give back to the, you know, the veteran population, particularly homeless veterans. So we're doing doors are at 6:30, and it's $3 to get in, or you can bring two canned goods. And the $3, we're calling it a minimum donation, because if you want to give us more, you know, we'll be glad to take it. All the comics that night are working for free, and 100% of the proceeds from that door are going to charities that work with homeless veterans. And, you know, they've donated the room. We're putting a little portion of the bar towards homeless veterans. So, it, you know, when we say 100%, we mean 100% of the money raised that night. Everybody's working for free. The, you know, the club putting the show that's given us the space, the people who are working the show, who are doing security, who are doing the door, who are working the bar, the people who are performing, everybody is donating their time so that 100% of the profits, that of the proceeds, can go towards helping homeless veterans in this country. And we even have some, you know, some vets, who some comics who are vets, who are on the show. John J. Murray and a guy, Danny Costello, who's you know, one of the first friends I made in comedy. He's gonna, you know, they're both gonna be performing, and it should be a really fun time. We're gonna have First United Church of Nintendo out there setting up some games before the comedy starts, and then afterwards we got some karaoke. Should be a good show.
You got a stacked lineup. It should be a great show. I'm going to be there. That is November 12th at the Local 662, 662 Central Avenue. Show starts at 6:30. $3 minimum donation or two canned items. Why don't you throw them $5 and bring two canned items anyway? That would be nice. Danny, we're just about out of time, man. Thank you for coming in.
Man, thanks a lot for having me.
I wish you luck on the show. I'll be there cheering you on and booing. I don't know, at the same time, if I could do that. Thank you all very much for tuning in. Go grab a Creative Loafing this week. Check out the comedy issue. I'm very excited to see it. And follow the Homemade Broadcast. Listen to James Bailey's podcast on the HMB Network, my mom's favorite podcast. We're more of Danny and Devin Alexander Pickett. We never decided. He goes by Danny Alexander.
Devin.
Sorry. Devin Alexander.
A lot of D's.
Yes.
A lot of D in this room tonight.
So many D's all up in my face right now. So, yeah, check them out on my mom's favorite podcast. Available on HMBRadio.com, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, I guess, as far as I know. And we'll be back next week with another edition. Damn it, this is not the music I wanted. I had a special thing picked out. I should have pulled it up before.
Well, you just sing it. What is it?
It's just beats. So again, I don't have the song.
Just make your own beat.
I could. I found it though, luckily. All right, HMBRadio.com, RadioSt. Pete.com. See y'all next week. Bye.